I'm sorry, I don't know about your background, but it sounds like you've done some scholarship, and I wonder, yeah. You're also such a smiling person. I, when I see you, I think of like the laughing Buddha. Huh. And
well, I'm fat and bald, so that's...
Well, it seems in some ways that in the West there's this sort of a superficial, you know, either you're a heart-centered person or you're a scholar or something. And you seem to hold this together so beautifully. I wonder if you could say something about how you've held these together.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Well, on the negative side, it usually doesn't work out. You know? There's this weird tension among the rabbis in Latvia and like more in the south about the velvet scholars that were very intellectual Kabbalists, and the more heartfelt scholars, the more Central Europe that were peasant and gave rise to the Hasidic tradition, you know. And I think, not to set myself up as an example, but my teachers, and actually some of the teachers in this room around us now, have approached the holistic model. And not to put a too fine a point on it, but they're called Chajigan. Chajigan means doing everything well. On all levels, physical in the world, spiritual in the spiritual world, and mental, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They really have this unbelievably disciplined system to try to excel on all levels. It is not necessarily so. And you're supposed to use, you know, what God gave you. You see what I mean? A musician or a scholar or an artist or a tile maker or a rug maker or whatever, a calligrapher, all have their special manifestations of divine beauty. It all comes from the same place. So actually, the heart is where it's at. Jalaluddin Rumi says, you know, a plowman that's behind two bullocks takes a break and does his prayers in the tilled land. It participates in the same divine reality that he does. And he's Rumi. You see what I mean? From the heart point of view. And there are certain people that are, you know, sort of all heart in the negative sense. They're really teenagers in love, and they're sort of unrestrained. They're called Mejdub. It's the path of the crazy people. I happen to know one, a Berkeley graduate student. I swear to God, he was the real thing. He was very weird. And I met a few at 3 o'clock in the morning in the moonlit streets of Fez, Morocco. I met a few people that were doing zikr, and they were really, really stoned, you know. They were great. However, they're most of us can do other stuff, you know, like in the world. And intellectually. So the Chajigan, it only lasted about 200 years in Central Asia, but it really changed the face of Sufism, you know, to include everything like Buddhism and Nestorian Christianity. And they were really all in everything, and they were good at everything also. And they built the universities in Samarkand, you know, and they had statecraft. And I mean, they really did everything well. So we're following in their footpath, their tariqa, their footsteps. However, there does seem to be a disconnect in the West between the heart and the head, which is quite unfortunate, actually. And I suffered from it in the faculty of UC Berkeley somewhat. That's why I quit. And because it's a compartmentalization that's rather false and flimsy, by the way. People actually do act as if they're all head and have a heart, and the other way around. It depends how you look at intelligence. Therefore, I was talking about something for everyone. You know, there's different ways of being a Sufi. There's the ecstatic path and the sober path. And early Sufi texts, such as Hujviri, have long, long, long discussions about this. Because, you know, this was a question in this kind of culture that was in Central Asia and India. And what they said is, if God gives you brains, you have to use it. If God gives you technical skills, you have to use it. If God gives you artistic skills, that is a gift from God. Use it, you see. While, and this is why very few people can do this, while you're working all the way, all the while on your heart. You see what I mean? So my teacher was a mathematics professor, actually, and taught mathematics. And, you know, that's a very, you know, he studied with Whitehead. I mean, he was a really brilliant mathematician. And here I was, you know, with my, I couldn't remember algebra when I first met him. It was very embarrassing. He was telling me about set theory, and I was saying, I better do some homework. You know, it's like, I'm a linguist. And he, you know, that's the thing. You think you're something, and then he redefines your idea of yourself. That's the whole point. So that as I was able to absorb a very little bit of higher mathematics, I was able to use it as he guided me in the Sufi tradition. But some people, like, don't care about that. Some people are qawwali singers. Well, you know, that's the point. No matter what your heart, where your heart is growing and loving and remembering the beloved, you have other parts of your life, such as marriage, maybe. It's a hot topic. And your job and your career, in other words, and your physical being. You see what I mean? That the way of the Khwaja Ghan, if we can just call it that, is to try to do everything well, but that is quite a big order, isn't it? So what the Murshid tells you to do, he gives you a nice little piece, a manageable little piece, and says, this is what to do next. That's what the path is. Small, manageable increments in order to do the next step. We all know we're returning to God, to Allah. The verse is, Inna ilayhi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ilayhi means we belong to Allah, and to Allah is the ultimate return. How to get there is like this. There's three questions. My advice, and I'm in the advice business, so you didn't ask for this. Three questions. Where am I now? On the spiritual path. If you don't know, try to find out. Ask somebody. It's so important. It's like, you know, like this is so practical. Where am I now on the spiritual path? Where have I been, and where do I go next? Those three questions are vital. It's like any other, you know, map-finding project. You know where you're going, but the vital, people get stuck, and I'm in the stuck business and that kind of thing. I troubleshoot for people who are stuck. Those three questions, you have to at least look at them, entertain them. We all know that the universe will return to God, but how? And how do I get there? And more important, what's the next step for me? The value of what's called nasiha, spiritual advice from a guide, is this, literally a guide, is how can I proceed to the next step? And that necessarily necessitates the question, where am I now and where have I been? Those three questions are necessary. Those three questions are necessary. So if you're not ready to start a career in higher mathematics, you know, that might be a good idea on your nafs part, but actually it might be the wrong way to go. And that calls for some kind of guidance, advice, you know, some kind of hint on where do I go next on the spiritual path. This is where I was led because he saw in me certain proclivities. And some people are going to do the same thing that I've just talked about for the last hour. Believe it or not, communicate exactly the same thing to your spirit, not to your brain, but to your heart with silence. It can be done. I just talk a lot. Yeah, but isn't that amazing? The same message to your heart can be done with like a Bodhika vibe, you know, just vibe you to death with silence, and it's great. Your heart opens, and that's it. It can be done. But this is, happens to be how I was trained, because he saw certain proclivities in me, and that's the way I was sort of raised or trained by my teacher. Yeah, some people write books, some people do music. It all comes from the heart. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's a tremendous variety. Good. Is that the time? Let's conclude. How about if we conclude with a silent prayer of your own choosing? How would that be? Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. That was a very honorable thing you did to come and enjoy the afternoon. I really appreciate it. Sharafna, you've honored us. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's good.
Who is the rabbi in
Miss
Berkeley?
You. Yeah, huh? Jonathan Umerman?